From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Thursday, November 2nd. Coming up, we'll listen to a conversation with directors Danny Yorgis and Rachel Rizzuto about the musical The Wild Party that's coming soon to the Krannert Center for Performing Arts. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Many Venezuelan migrants are seeing snow for the first time while sheltering in or outside Chicago police stations. Michael Puente reports.
About a dozen tents, many covered with tarps and filled with blankets to help keep the migrants warm, sit outside the 4th District Police Station on Chicago's far south side. According to the city, more than 2,800 migrants are living in or around police stations. CTA warming buses are at 16 of the 22 district stations, but not at this one. Many just arrived here within the last week or two, and some are struggling to adapt to the cold and snow. But one migrant child, a 9-year-old girl named Milanes, says she likes it.
Porque es muy bonito. Nunca he visto la nieve.
She says it's pretty and she's never seen snow. Volunteers are bringing winter clothing to the migrants, many of whom are still dressed for summer. Michael Puente.
Illinois Congressman Darren LaHood supports a House Republican proposal to provide an additional $14 billion in aid for Israel. The proposal comes during an ongoing war in Israel and the West Bank following an attack from the Palestinian militant group Hamas on October 7th. LaHood says the proposal includes an offset, cutting the $14 billion from IRS funding in the Inflation Reduction Act.
The package that's coming to the floor on Wednesday, I look forward to supporting it. I'm glad it's offset by, figuring out a way to pay for it. I think that's good. We have to support Israel in their war against terrorism.
LaHood says he doesn't believe critics of the offset proposal should have any concerns about the function of the IRS. He says the funding should still be sufficient without the $14 billion. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker says the state legislature won't be sending any more money this year to Chicago to help feed, clothe, and house the many migrants arriving daily.
So I'm proud of the work the state has done to support the city. You know, yeah, there doesn't appear to be a supplemental that will go through the legislature this veto session, but the state is going to continue to try to provide the wraparound services through our Department of Human Services.
The city of Chicago says it's received more than 20,000 migrants from the southern border since August of last year. Most are from Venezuela seeking asylum in the U.S. Pritzker says it's time the federal government steps in and does more, while Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson wants President Joe Biden to meet with him and other mayors in the hopes of securing federal aid. Decatur residents can weigh in on proposed changes to garbage and recycling service at a public hearing Thursday night. As Jim Meadow reports, the changes would include a 39% rate hike.
City spokesman Ryan Huffer says the proposed increase is driven by two local haulers who say it's needed to cover increased costs. The basic monthly rate for residents of single-family homes and small apartment buildings would go from $19 a month to $23.50 starting next summer. It would then increase yearly, topping out at $26.42 in July of 2026. These would be the first rate hikes for residential garbage and recycling pickup in Decatur since 2021. Huffer says public feedback will help inform the Decatur City Council ahead of their vote on the proposal. I'm Jim Meadows.
Tonight's public hearing is at 5:30 p.m. at the Decatur Civic Center. Still to come, we'll listen to a conversation with directors Danny Yorgis and Rachel Rizzuto about the musical The Wild Party that is coming soon to Krannert Center for Performing Arts. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
Next time on the 21st Show, an update on the Farm Bill, plus our next-door neighbors in Iowa have been dealing with a growing water crisis, and we're seeing the consequences throughout the Midwest. Author and hydrology researcher Chris Jones says the blame for that should go to the agriculture industry. I'm Brian Mackey. We'll talk about it next time on the 21st Show. Join us.
This is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Prohibition-era decadence dominates the stage in Andrew Lippa's musical The Wild Party as attendees flirt, dance, and fight in a debaucherous celebration. IPM reporter Owen Henderson spoke with Danny Yorges and Rachel Rizzuto, the husband and wife team directing the show, about the Lyric Theater's upcoming production.
If I understand correctly, this is the first main stage show that either of you have directed with Krannert.
That is absolutely correct.
That's true.
What have your experiences been like directing this together?
Directing it together has been great, if not hectic.
I think this is one of the more choreography and just staging heavy shows that Lyric Theater has done in a while.
Your background is in dance, Rachel, and I was curious what that has brought to your sensibility, not just as a choreographer, but also as a director.
We want to keep this show in the realm of reality, so both of us were not interested in creating a show where there is necessarily, let's stop and do a musical theater number for the audience, and more about what kind of dancing would actually ensue at a debaucherous, drunken, drug-fueled party. So a lot of the movement we kept rooted in social dance. Some of it is period-esque, you know, since it is set in the 1920s.
When we first started working on this, Rachel mentioned that she wanted the movement to somehow resemble the feel of being at a party of our mutual friend back in New York, who was Rachel's choreographer in her dance company. Most people may not know that modern dancers in social dance situations do really weird stuff.
That is true.
It is social dance with a modern dance flair. The way that the actors are moving in a lot of the scenes is incredibly abstract and ethereal, and we were really interested in presenting scenes of sexuality and sexual violence and just plain old violence in an interpretive movement way as opposed to a literal way. The themes are there, and it's important that we address them and that they're a part of the message of this show. And I think that by abstracting a lot of the violence and sexual violence and sex in the show, we're actually telling a more compelling and interesting story that people can relate to from a number of different perspectives without necessarily having to relive their own personal trauma, whether as performers or audience members.
The show originally ran off Broadway in 1999. It's based on source material from the 1920s. And so I was curious what the conversations have been like with the cast, thinking about putting things in context appropriately, but also how much of that can you look at with the lens of where we are now in 2023.
Well, what's so interesting about it to me is that it was written during the Prohibition, when suddenly, you know, the majority of Americans, drinking Americans, found themselves on the wrong side of the law. There was a sense in the 20s of just freedom, and so people were expressing themselves in ways that they just had not done before. So for there to be a character that is an unapologetic lesbian as a main character in this story written in 1926 but not published until 1928 because it was deemed too risque, we have to approach the same thing that was white hot exciting in the 1920s, more normalized in the 1990s, and then now has come full circle to being like, okay, how can we represent gay people and people of color without making that their only attribute? And it's challenging because that's sort of what the musical is doing, is it's highlighting these attributes and making them the most important thing. But the audience is just, they're not even going to blink at it. They're going to be like, so what?
Remaining true to what the actual storyline is and the way that these characters, what their arcs are within the show, while still, as Danny's saying, trying to give them fully dimensional, fully fleshed out character arcs, it is a challenge.
If you read the original poem, it is unequivocal in casting all of the people at this party as being bad people, that they are all sinful, greedy, looking out for themselves and for what's going to satisfy them at this party. Why is that something that has been a part of society since time immemorial? I think it's a question of human nature.
It does give us freedom, though, as directors, to think about these characters in more dimensions than just what's written on the page and the stereotypical, like, bad or predatory qualities of some of them. We're thinking of them all, I think, as flawed characters, yes, but we're finding more than that about them.
Well, Danny, Rachel, thank you so much for talking to me.
Our pleasure.
Sure. Thank you.
That was IPM reporter Owen Henderson. The Wild Party has performances on November 7th, 9th, and 10th at the Kranert Center for Performing Arts. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be sunny with a high of 54 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Michael Puente, Tim Shelley, Mawa Iqbal, Jim Meadows, and Owen Henderson. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.